ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Airline loyalty programs seemed like a bonanza in the early days. Free flights? Sign me up. But many of us found the reality a little less exciting. Limited options and quite a bit of frustration getting there often. Plus, your data sometimes turned up in unexpected places later on. But now, when every dollar counts, getting something for nothing feels like a great option again. So is the catch worth it with loyalty programs generally these days? Credit cards, shopping cards, what do your points really get you? Steve Worthington is an adjunct professor in the School of Business, Law and Entrepreneurship at Swinburne University. Steve, great to have you on the program.
Thank you, Hilary.
Is there an efficient and effective way to earn points? Is there, you know, one trick to it?
Well, let's just focus where you started there on frequent flyer points just for the moment. And these are usually based on having a credit card. And essentially, there are two types of credit card holders. First of all, there's people called the transactors who use their card but pay the balance off every month, so they never pay interest on their credit card. The other group is called the revolvers, who also use their card, but they don't pay off in full, and hence they carry debt over to the next payment period and pay interest on that debt. Now, I think that if you're a revolver, you should probably stay away from those kind of cards, because the frequent flyer points are costing an awful lot more than if you're a transactor.
So it's about know yourself from the start. But are there issues with the way the rewards programs are run generally as well?
No, I don't know about issues about it. I mean, let's just stay with the credit cards for a moment. Another aspect of that is credit cards have different costs. Usually they have an annual fee, in fact, quite frequently an annual fee. And that, for the frequent flyer points, it's often higher for those type of cards. And secondly, the point I make here is, given the current cost of living crisis, the current sort of RBA judgments on interest rates on credit cards have been going up recently, and that's increasing your cost of living if you use a card and pay interest on it.
So can we judge with reward programs generally what the various rewards are worth? Is there a kind of set value generally?
No, there's no set value. If we take the example of airlines, the airlines sell their points to various other providers of goods and services, and they're handed out to people on that basis of being having a loyalty program of that sort. What I would point out there is that the value of the points is known to have been declining. It's like almost there's an inflation on the number of points you need to get any reward. So, for example, let's say flying from Melbourne to Sydney, what might have cost you 10,000 points 2 years ago now cost 20,000 points, so they're being devalued effectively as well.
I was reading about one fly-in, fly-out worker who said, oh, it's great because I just get seat upgrades from time to time. But obviously he is doing a lot of flying and his employer is managing that. Are frequent flyer programs worth it for anyone else?
Well, they will be if you're aware of the sort of the stings in the tail, if you like, the fact that they can be devalued and you're paying an annual fee for your cards and so on. But I also point out that sometimes unused points can expire, as in they run out of time. Unlike gift cards now last forever, but frequent flyer points, loyalty points, particularly frequent flyer points, can expire. So you just lose them anyway if you don't use them. And also, in extreme case, airlines do go bankrupt. I believe Ansett is a classic example of that.
Yes, so you'd hope that we've learnt the lessons of Ansett and maybe we won't see too many more airlines go bust. I mean, effectively, you can still get free flights, can't you? Surely something for nothing is a bit of a useful thing these days.
It is indeed. And it's not just, as we're pointing out, it's not just the frequent flyer points, loyalty points in general. If you're selective and choose to focus on a particular two providers, let's say one or the other supermarket groups or something, then you might get some benefits from that. But following up on something you said earlier too, one of the negatives also is the information that we have to give to join such a scheme is quite comprehensive. And there's a claim that there's a lot of fraud actually on loyalty points. If you wanted to buy some loyalty points off the record, as it were, if you go on the dark web apparently and said I'd like 100,000 loyalty points, it can be arranged for you for a price, and that those points are then stolen from someone's card or someone's information set, which is being kept on the dark web as well.
Wow! So, and what happens if you just, sorry, go on.
Well, I'm going to say, so there is a danger of fraud, and it's a very easy fraud for fraudsters because they don't have to provide any identity. They just swoop in and have been known to steal the points.
So how easy is it to legitimately transfer points, for example, to a partner or a family member?
That can be done as well, but might require quite a bit of, paperwork. That's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? But it can be done, yes, but it's not as easy as it sometimes sounds.
We're speaking with Steve Worthington, who's an adjunct professor in the School of Business, Law and Entrepreneurship at Swinburne University, about how well loyalty programs work for us, the consumer generally, whether it's frequent flyer ones or the ones on your credit card or the ones at your supermarket, for example. And texts are coming in, 0418 226 576. Andrew from the Northern Rivers says, zero loyalty to corporations as it is in return, he says. Another says, the only rewards program I use now is the Woolworths Rewards because it pays for our Christmas dinner every year. Are those ones a good idea in your view, Steve? The ones where you can kind of quietly rack up points when you do your shopping, which you'd be doing anyway?
I think that is a good idea, particularly as maybe your people on text messages said, particularly if you focus on one loyalty scheme for each particular area of activity, be it a supermarket or be it a bank or whatever, and then try and build up your points and use them for something substantial, like a Christmas dinner, yes, then it can work. But you've got to be quite strict about it with yourself and always remember to carry your loyalty details with you to tap on at the checkout.
So can loyalty programs be addictive or alter our spending behaviour? I mean, obviously they're designed to keep us with a particular organisation or company. Can they have that kind of dark side of making us do things that we otherwise wouldn't?
I'm not sure if I can answer that one about the dark side there. There are claims, of course, supermarkets monitor what we buy, and that one way of doing that is by using your loyalty card, and then they can focus on making you offers about things that you regularly buy. So, for instance, I buy quite a lot of tonic water, and then I get offers for gin, which I think is quite interesting. But it's again, it's about being aware that you really need to focus on how best to build your points and then also to remember to redeem them as frequently as you wish to and actually use them. But also, at all the time we're doing this, we are giving away information about our purchases and our activities and what we're interested in. So there's a sort of dark side there as well.
Well, and sometimes they offer things like sign-on offers and bonuses. Can that be a useful thing as long as you are carefully reading the T's and C's?
Yeah, well, indeed, yes. And I mean, there's all sorts of incentives, double points, triple points, quadruple points for doing certain things. And they can be used very well if that's what you actually want. But I wouldn't buy something just to gain the points. I'd buy something that I needed to have. And if it comes with points as well, then that's a good idea. But it's a question about focusing and not being lured too much by the offers that come with a loyalty scheme.
And you mentioned before the need to watch out for points that expire in particular kinds of loyalty programs. Are there other things in the terms and conditions in the fine print, Steve, that we should watch out for?
I'm not too sure about the details of terms and conditions. Quite frankly, I don't think many of us actually read those.
We don't talk about that, Steve.
Well, there probably are. I mean, but one thing that sometimes I've already mentioned is that we actually give away a lot of information quite freely and quite gladly when signing up for any kind of loyalty program. And its continuous use gives away more and more information about what we do. And we need to be, if you like, reasonably happy with that. I'm sure that the value of the information is worth far more than the value of the points. Let's put it that way.
Mm. Tim's texted in, loyalty give around 1% back of the value. Shopping around will yield 2 to 10% discounts. Better logic. Interesting idea. Send me a text, 0418 226 576. Steve Worthington, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm also a great believer in the continued use of cash. And I think if you're trying to get some kind of discount on in some situations, when you have that famous phrase, would that be cheaper for cash? That sometimes works to your advantage as well, because you get an instant reward for that. As long as the person accepts the cash and, for instance, doesn't charge you a surcharge then. So, you know, there are ways of lowering your cost of spending, yes, and some people are more skilled at it than others.
Okay.
But loyalty points do have a purpose and do have a frame in our mentality. Perhaps we think, well, we are going to stick with one supermarket, to use that example, because we get some loyalty points from them. And that does change our behaviour, yes.
Yeah, I can't believe I was 32 before I heard that magical phrase, is that your best price? And would you do it cheaper for cash? Two incredible sentences that have served me very well over time. Another text, loyalty, my buttocks, says one text. Spare me your euphemisms. I know anti-competitive practices when I see them. And Jan in Sapphire Beach says, sneaky tactics by supermarket loyalty programs. At checkout, would you like $10 off today's purchase? Will cost only 2,000 loyalty points. Yes, please, says Jan. Happy place. But a close look at the receipt afterwards means they gave me 0 points for that particular shop. Not so happy now. And she says that sneaky behaviour. That's an interesting one, Steve.
It's one they used to call double dipping, that one where you're getting two sets of rewards for the one transaction. And I think that probably is something of the past. If you paid with your credit card, you're probably hoping to get credit card points as well as the points from the loyalty scheme. Well, I think that as your contributor mentioned there, that's probably been seen through now. And double dipping is probably not as easy as it used to be.
Yep, it's gone the way of staffed checkouts. So a lot of people, Steve, are saying, look, the loyalty programs are a scam. Would you go that far? Is that too harsh a word?
I think that's too harsh a word, yes. They do provide, you know, people sometimes enjoy doing them, and they're not a scammer themselves, but as I've already pointed out, they can be scammed by fraudsters. And this is where there's a dark side to the whole scene here, where, as I said, people can actually, if you're using somebody else, but you get someone to buy tickets for you, and to buy to steal points for you, for example, free flyer points, and then you get them stolen from somebody else, and they lose those points. So there is scamming involved, and it's those that are being in danger of being scammed.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point that I think a lot of us might not have thought about when we were considering whether or not those reward schemes would be useful for us. Steve, thanks so much for your time today on Life Matters.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks, Hilary.
Steve Worthington, adjunct professor in the School of Business, Law and Entrepreneurship at Swinburne University. Your thoughts continuing to come in on the text line 0418 226 576. Greg says, I'm a member of so many loyalty programs, it's not funny, but using a dedicated email for spam helps. I concentrate on three programs, supermarket, chemist and pet store. I'm always spending the money there, so why not get something back? And choices are limited here. Where Greg lives, for the latter to the chemist and the pet store. Another text from Erica, Qantas frequent flyer, she says. Two friends and I recently booked ahead business class on domestic flights. On the outgoing flight, we were called to the desk at the lounge and told two of the three of us had to downgrade to economy as it was part of our holiday, and as it was gendered because it was the women of the group, we were mad. Apparently Qantas had to find seats for VIPs. Says Erica. Interesting. Possibly a coincidence. How shall we know? You're listening to Life Matters on Radio National. And if you live outside a city, you will have seen arts practitioners coming in from time to time and doing workshops or asking for volunteers for a project and calling it community engagement.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.